as summer does approach, the demand for these services will rise. But are they COVID ready? To discuss this, we are now joined by Dr. Fiona Stanaway, a clinical epidemiologist and senior lecturer at the University of Sydney. Good morning, Fiona.
Good morning, Marlene.
Thank you so much for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Now, when we're weighing up the transport options, how can we best kind of weigh up the risk of exposure to COVID-19?
Yeah, so the risk is driven by a few things. So it's driven by how close you are to other people. So thinking about the number of other people that will be using that transport option and your ability to social distance from them. It's driven by the time, so how long you're going to be spending close to those people, and also ventilation. So, you know, how big the space is where you're going to be with other people. And, you know, whether there's windows open or circulating air that's going to reduce that risk of you being exposed to respiratory droplets that infected people might have produced.
And when we're talking about taxis, how does where you sit in a taxi, or I guess in general, just a car in general, how does that impact your risk of exposure where you sit?
Yeah, so just like the rules that we have around, you know, keeping at least 1.5 metres from other people, that's because, you know, the further you are away from someone, just lowering your risk of breathing in those respiratory droplets that an infected person might be producing. So if you're sitting in a taxi, the further that you can sit from the driver, the better. So the advice is that you sit in the back seat, diagonally opposite from the driver. And that's both reducing your risk, but also reducing the risk of the driver in case you yourself, you know, might be in the early stages and asymptomatic and be infectious yourself.
Absolutely. And what are some other steps that people can take to minimise the spread while in a taxi?
Yeah, so you can think about, I guess, the two main ways that that we think COVID-19 is transmitted. So one is through touching surfaces and then touching your face, and the other is through the respiratory droplet transmission. So in terms of touching, so obviously you're going to be touching things a little bit when you're getting in the cab, so you can take some hand sanitizer with you to use after you've got in. And it's important to get in the habit of whenever you're arriving at your destination to sort of have good hand hygiene, and washing your hands is one of the first things that you do. You can also limit your touch by the way that you pay, so using contactless payment options. In terms of the respiratory droplet transmission, so where you sit, diagonally across in the back seat, having a window open to increasing that ventilation, wearing a mask. So all of those things can help, you know, reduce your risk whilst you're in a taxi.
And we mentioned before that there has been a bit of a challenge to try and contact all these people who might have been in contact with this driver. Should there be systems similar to like the QR codes in restaurants or some contact tracing way so that all passengers and drivers can be contacted?
Yeah, so I think, so that's a particular issue in this case because there are people that they haven't been able to contact, and those are close contacts that really need to isolate. So yeah, having a QR code would be an additional means of tracing people that would facilitate that. But also, you know, encouraging people to book the services through an app or online, and using a credit card to pay also helps to trace people. I mean, I actually have a very good friend who has a really old mobile phone that can't use the QR codes. So not everyone, you know, that doesn't work for everybody, but it's just an additional strategy that can be used to make sure that we can trace all the contacts when an episode like this happens.
Absolutely. And it also has to be accessible because, I mean, I personally think I've got a lot of people I know who use taxis because either they might be elderly or maybe they're in that risk group where they think a taxi is like a safer option to get to their doctor's appointments and whatever essential things. So they're kind of the group of people that you want to keep the most safe as well.
That's right.
Do you think more public forms of transport are better in terms of risk of exposure?
It really depends. So, because it depends on how close you are to other people, which is really determined by how crowded the public transport is. And so that's why, you know, if you're using public transport, there's a few things that you can do again to help reduce that risk. And one of them is there's quite a few apps now that show the capacity that's on the transport services that can help you plan when to catch it, you know, trying to travel in off-peak times. So that you're not close to other people, because that's really what's driving your risk rather than the actual type of transport. You know, obviously in terms of ventilation, I mean, a car is quite a small space. So, you know, that's in a way what helps drive the risk in something like a taxi, is that you're in this small space, even though you're only with one person. Whereas if you're in a train or a bus that's almost empty, you've got this big amount of space around you. So in a way, that's decreasing your risk. But it's really the most important thing is thinking about how crowded that service is and the amount of time that you're going to spend on it. You know, and if it's possible to use other things, maybe even just for part of the journey, like walking or cycling, where your risk is very, very low because you're not really close to other people. And understandably, not everyone can use those options. But, you know, getting back to your point about the vulnerable people, in a way, if you can use other options, if you can walk or cycle, if you can travel at off-peak, it's good for you to do that, because then that's actually also reducing the risk for the people that can't do that. So the people that are more vulnerable and may have to use those options at those times, you're reducing their risk as well by choosing to do things, you know, such as travelling off-peak and using other transport options.
That's such a good point. I really think that's a really good point for all of us. Thank you so much for joining us this morning and providing your advice.
You're very welcome, Marlene.